It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by the Honorable Dusty Johnson. He covers South Dakota from one side of the state to the other. He represents the entire state. House Ag Committee, Transportation and Infrastructure, and in 1302 Longworth now. Good to see you.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's good to have a D.C. that feels a little bit more open than it has for quite a while.
And that's a sign, maybe, that we're moving back to normal across the country?
Well, certainly across the country. And in South Dakota, we've been living pretty close to normal for a long time. We got vaccinations very quickly, came up to 50%. We're a national leader. You know, we still have some of the job to finish, but our economy's really been open for a long time. You know, D.C. itself is a pretty difficult place to get stuff done because there were some folks, Tony, who hoped that maybe President Biden would usher in a new age of bipartisanship. We have not seen that yet.
When we do look at what we've seen here in D.C. as of late, we've seen some challenges coming to the ag industry. And let's start with the pork industry, as they've been facing some challenges already due to COVID, but now one dealing with line speed.
Yeah, it's hard because in some respects in ag, I mean, we've had quite a rally in the last year on the grain side, which has eased some tension. But now we've got things like drought. We've got, you know, problems in the cattle market. And right, the pork market is also in trouble. And frankly, this one doesn't make any sense to me, Tony. I mean, for decades, literally decades, we have had five large plants that have been able to, kind of as a pilot project, to go on faster line speeds. And it's added capacity. It's allowed those plants to have 20% more throughput than they otherwise would have had. Now, what we know, because we've got decades of data here, is that it did not have a negative impact on employee safety. Quite the contrary. And so you had USDA that rolled out a really good common sense rule that said that all the plants would be able to use these tried and proven higher line speeds. It was appealed, and the judge, on a technical deficiency, threw out the rule. And so now we're going to, not only are all the plants across the country not going to be able to increase their line speed, the judge is going to make the now six plants that had been using the higher line speeds go back down to the slower line speeds. That is going to reduce our ability to kill and process swine in this country by almost 3%. We are going to feel that both at the consumer end and at the producer end.
We talk about some of the challenges dealing with producers and processors, if you will. Cattle market, almost the same story, but again, details are not the same.
Yeah, that's right. Now, before we leave pork, I don't want to just leave people with the idea that the only thing I do is complain. I mean, we're leaning in. I mean, I'm the ranking member of the livestock subcommittee, so I take a personal and professional interest in this. We are working, talking to DOJ and talking to USDA about how they can expedite a new rule on higher line speeds how they can appeal the decision. There is a way forward on this. I'm not just sitting around twiddling my thumbs. On the cattle side, it's tougher, and it's been tougher for quite a while. Frankly, we don't have the kind of capacity we need. We've also got a lot of consolidation at the processing level, and that causes a lot of people heartburn. So what we need to do is, number one, we need more transparency in this space, because we are seeing lots of transactions move away from the sale barn and into formula pricing or into the grid. And listen, I don't have any problem with a producer who, through genetics and through practice, is able to build their beef into hitting certain standards and be able to get a premium for their product. And, good for them. But we want some insight. We want some transparency into what the marketplace looks like, because we know price discovery is critically important. If you don't have data, you can't have price discovery. And so one of the pieces of legislation I've been working hard on is trying to make sure we get a beef contract library and making sure that formula pricing has some transparency as well. But it's not just transparency. You know, two more things I'd mention. We need to allow the small and regional packers more of an opportunity to expand expand, and we're going to help in two ways. I'm trying to help in two ways. Number one, we're going to make it easier for them to ship across state lines direct to consumers, and we're also going to make it easier for them to access some of these existing federal dollars so they can make have the kind of expansions that they want to make. These guys during the pandemic were killing it. Every single day they were bringing it. They were killing on Saturdays. They were killing double shifts. They were really helping out this country. We need to make sure those guys have an opportunity to play an even bigger role in the future.
You've hit on some challenges. They don't stop there. And we've been looking at the livestock industry, but you also have some challenges for your row crop producers. Can I throw one that's just happened here recently? Waters of the U.S. has kind of come back up. Is that something that's on your radar?
It is absolutely on my radar. And I thought ag country did a really good job of coming together during the Obama administration when WOTUS was put out. I thought we spoke with one clear and concise voice about the fact that it was inappropriate for federal regulators to have environmental control over every wet spot in every farmer's field. And as a result, I think we really arrested momentum on that plan under the Obama administration, and it made it a lot easier to roll it back during the Trump administration. And I think President Biden's making a mistake. WOTUS was bad policy then, and it's bad policy now. That isn't to say that there aren't some ways in which we can improve stewardship over water. But we really, I think, want to look to these producers on both the cattle and on the, well, I would say on the rancher and the farmer side. We want to view them as partners, not as people who need to be watched by policemen. There's a better way to go about this.
But in order to ideally call it a water of the U.S., there has to be water there, and that's been in short supply from Mother Nature as of late across the Dakotas. Where would you put South Dakota in this drought right now?
Yeah, we talked earlier about how there had been a nice rally on price, on the row crop side. And although prices have come down a little bit, when I checked this morning, we had beans still in the 14s, and we had corn had just slipped down into the 6s. That's at the elevator location. Basis for South Dakota has always been a bit of an issue. But, price doesn't mean a lot if you can't grow anything. And right now, 95% of South Dakota is in a D2 stage or worse. From a drought perspective, people are really starting to hurt out there. Again, this is not an area where we're just laying down and letting things happen to producers. There's not a lot we can do. We can't make it rain, but we are working together as a federal delegation, talking to USDA, talking to others about when we can make the CRP available. And we know that during drought times, it's been regular to have CRP released. The problem is if you wait until too late in the year, there is very little nutritional value in that forage. If we can wrap just a little earlier, it's going to have a lot more value in the belly.
I hate to, again, it seems as though it's challenge, 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 challenge. There's always challenges there, but you're the kind of guy that likes to look at opportunities. So as we close this one out, I'd like for you to look down the road. What is something that you're really optimistic, you're really excited about moving forward?
Well, I think if we continue to talk about American products in the way that we have been in recent years, we are going to have even more of an opportunity to feed the world than we have been. I mean, we have seen that our corn, our beans, our cattle, our pork, they are in demand across the world. I mean, these are premium products. And when you market them that way, when you have the right kind of free trade agreements that really get government out of the way and allow willing buyers and willing sellers to exchange this cash, the American producer wins on that front. And I think we've got a great opportunity. I also think we've got a great opportunity in the biofuel space. I know a lot of people talk about electric vehicles, and they'll certainly have a place, and they should have a place. But we are getting better at the secret sauce that allows for biofuels. The reality is that we used to talk about ethanol as 25 or 30% less carbon intensive than gasoline. Well, now the numbers are 46%, and it's only going to get better as our processes get better. We have an opportunity to make sure that the world's got the fuel and the food and the fiber that it needs, and the feed, of course. And I will always bank on American ingenuity and the work ethic of farm and ranch country, and I think it's going to deliver some pretty good results long term.
So good to see you. Thanks for your work, and best of luck through the rest of the session.
You bet. Thanks, Tony.
Again, it's the Honorable Dusty Johnson representing the state of South Dakota. And this is the Agribusiness Report.